coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783. Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescent to adult and for private as well as professional drug and alcohol screening, treatment, and rehabilitation. Visit www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
American Freedom Work Network, and with us this morning is Michael Conley. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Stan. How about you?
I'm doing just fine. And Michael, of course, has an organization he's going to tell you about this morning. But what was it that you wanted to talk about specifically today?
Well, there are a number of things out there. One of the situations we need to talk about is what's happening with the bombing that occurred in Boston. And
all right, fine. Well, I'd like your impression of what took place there.
Well, you know, I talked to my oldest son about this right after it happened. He is an expert in IEDs. He's been in Iraq and Afghanistan a total of six times. His specialty is he's a combat engineer. His specialty is hunting down IEDs and either detonating them to protect our troops or dismantling them so they can study them. And he told me the same thing I was already thinking about, and that was, this was a classic Al-Qaeda attack. The pattern was exactly the same that they used. The equipment was the same that they used, the pressure cookers and the gunpowder and the ball bearings for shrapnel. And then they set off one bomb in one location that kills and injures a bunch of people and causes the other rest of the crowd or a lot of the crowd to run the opposite direction. And they set off another one a few seconds later to catch those people. So this is classic Al-Qaeda. And, we have a couple of homegrown terrorists here, obviously, but one of whom went to Russia last year for 6 months. He was in Chechnya for 6 months. There is at least one that we know of, Al-Qaeda training camp in Chechnya. And yet the White House seems to be trying to downplay any connection to Al-Qaeda here. And of course, we know why, because we were told that when Obama was running for re-election, we were told that Al-Qaeda was done, that we had won the war on terror. Well, actually, he didn't call it a war on terror anymore. The war on terror, which the military was told right after he took office to stop using the words war on terror to describe what we were doing in Afghanistan. We were doing an overseas contingency operation. You know, I mean, he doesn't want to offend the terrorist. So we're not talking about the Al-Qaeda situation here, but what makes it even worse is the fact that we have this Saudi national, this 20-year-old college student, whose family is tied extensively into Al-Qaeda. Some of his relatives, his uncles, are actually high up in the Al-Qaeda hierarchy. And first of all, why was this kid ever allowed in this country in the first place? Why was he given a student visa and allowed here to attend one of our universities? He was present at the bombing site. He was apparently injured. He was taken to a hospital. He was under armed guard. He was a person of interest, according to the police and the FBI. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't a person of interest anymore. Michelle Obama visits him in the hospital. And then the president has an unscheduled meeting with Saudi officials. And basically, they come out and say that we're going to deport him for national security reasons. Now, if this man has any ties or any knowledge about this bombing, or has any potential knowledge about any more terrorist attacks that are threatened here, because there are going to be more, there's no question about that, then he needs to be kept here and questioned. Instead, he is going to be basically shipped out, I understand today, in the middle of the, you know, middle of the night type deal, and sent back to Saudi Arabia with no repercussions. So are we covering up a Saudi connection here? Is that what the president's trying to do? Are we looking at another Benghazi, another cover-up where he doesn't want the American people to react to what is jihadist terrorism?
Well, I think that there are so many unanswered questions, and the trouble is that nobody's asking them. Of course, you're asking this question about this Saudi. Why would Michelle Obama go in? Here's a person declared a person of interest by the police. He's in the hospital, and Michelle Obama goes to see him. I mean, at least this is what we're told. But can we believe most of what we're told? I mean, are we being intensely confused? Here's one of the older brother, the two bombers, and he goes to Russia. And he stays he goes to Chechnya, and he stays with his father over there for 6 months. For 6 months. He's got a wife and a child here and no visible means of support. He's got money to travel to Russia. He stays there for 6 months, and nobody ever asks, how does he support his wife and child? I mean, how does he support himself? How does he get the money for the trip? He has no job. Suddenly he's dropped out of boxing. We're told he's become radicalized. But you don't already take off 6 months when you don't have a job and when you've got a wife and child. But nobody ever asks, where is he getting his money? Where did he learn to build a sophisticated bomb? Because, of course, maybe the pressure cooker isn't very sophisticated, but the triggering mechanism is, and obviously this is not something you get on the Internet. If you do, the FBI is watching you. The FBI was watching him. In fact, there's evidence that he told his mother that the FBI had actually called him after the bombing. None of this adds up, and it's all being played down there. I believe you're absolutely right. They're playing with our emotions, and we're not getting the truth at all. And one of the things I think everybody in the listening audience should remember, when blood comes out, it's bright red, and very, very quickly it begins to turn dark. Look at the pictures there on that you'll see on the Internet. Look at the pictures of the blood on the ground. What color is it? Has it turned dark, as blood does after it's spilled, or is it still bright red? Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, you're asking the question about how the older boy supported his wife and child. The younger boy, you know, how was he supporting himself? Why did he get this prestigious scholarship to a college? How was he paying for his room and board and this sort of thing in college? You know, there's no indication here that either of these young men were gainfully employed. Yet, like you said, they had the money. The older boy had the money to travel to Chechnya for 6 months and live over there. You know, the whole thing is very suspicious. We're looking at this.
Hold on, Michael. Questions. We'll be back in just a moment right here at the American.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. And no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley would like to take this time to remind everyone, a blood donation truly is a gift of life that a healthy individual can give to others in their community who are sick or injured. In a 1 hour time, a person can donate one unit of blood that can be separated into four individual components to help save multiple lives. This message is from Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley. Give the gift of life. Give blood.
And here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Michael Conley, and we're simply talking about the Boston bombing. And ladies and gentlemen, the government certainly was monitoring this young man. We know they will admit that the Soviets had called him supposedly or contacted him in 2011, and they said they went to visit this young man, and they weren't concerned about him, so they paid no more attention to him. But look and see what his mother said. His mother said they were following him. They were following everything he did on the Internet. He was working for them. That was her words. She also said that either the mother or father said that the son contacted them after the bombing and said the FBI had contacted them. And yet we're told the FBI had no idea who they were. They got the pictures of them. They put them out, and they wanted the public to help the FBI identify the people who they were contacting after the bombing. Come on now. We're not being told the truth. Go up on DEPCA. DEPCA filed. DEPCA is an intelligence gathering organization. I don't know whether it's a Mossad front or CIA front. They claim that the older boy was working for, as an intelligence agent, infiltrating of the terrorists for the FBI, and then he was somehow a double agent. It's all confusing, but the one thing is the government is lying to us about what they knew and about what happened that day. And so go right ahead, Michael.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that the FBI did know about this guy. They did know he had been radicalized. They did know he was dangerous, so they were monitoring his Facebook post or his YouTube post. They knew he was posting very disturbing videos on there, very pro-jihadist videos. And again, you know, they're downplaying the connection here. Younger boy says, oh, we just did this for religion. That's what he's apparently telling the FBI, for our religion. And so, you know, we're talking about the so-called peaceful religion we keep hearing about, the Muslim religion. And again, we can't get the president to use the term jihadist. They won't refer to Islam. Excuse me. We have this politically correct nonsense. And I think that may be what's involved here as far as the FBI goes. I'm not going to, you know, say the FBI totally dropped the ball here on their own. Obviously, they dropped the ball. I think that the FBI has been hit by the same thing that the military has been hit by, and that's this nonsense political correctness coming out of the White House and the administration, that you don't want to pick on poor Muslims, even if they're radical Muslims, even if they're jihadists or potential jihadists. You don't want to pick on them because that's, you know, politically incorrect. It makes the Muslim religion look bad, and that's the last thing Obama wants to have done. He doesn't want the Saudi connection brought in here because he didn't want the Saudis to look bad. And, you know, this political correctness may have caused the FBI to stop the surveillance of this guy, or to ignore some of the things that was going on, because to pursue him would have been politically incorrect. Now, we have a situation, for example, in Afghanistan, where a 75-page manual has been written for the troops over there. And it basically tells them, do not do anything to offend the Taliban. They're fighting the Taliban. They're getting killed by the Taliban. They're killing members of the Taliban. But they're not supposed to say anything that would offend them or offend any of the Muslims in the country. For example, they're told not to criticize the habit that some Muslim men have of pedophilia with young boys. They're not to say that that's not right, American soldiers. They're not to criticize that at all. They're not to criticize the marrying of six-year-old girls by Muslim men. They're not to say anything at all that's derogatory towards the Muslim religion or any of the actions of people over there. Now, this is ridiculously politically correct. The fact of the matter is that we are fighting jihadists. We are fighting extremists, Muslim extremists. They are doing this because of their religion. I mean, we have the new, CIA director come out a couple of months ago and say that we will not refer to our enemies as jihadists because that is a legitimate part of their religion. I saw this quote about three times yesterday. That is a legitimate part of their religion. Jihadist, jihad means war, holy war. Holy war against the infidels. Who are the infidels? Everybody in the world who's not a Muslim. So it may be a legitimate part of their religion, but it's also a violent part of their religion, and it's a part of their religion that is used to justify acts of terror, justify the killing of innocents around the country, and yet we are supposed to sit back and not to use that term, not to criticize jihadists, not to talk about what reality is out there. The reality is that we are going to be facing more and more of these terrorist attacks. We have a wide open border to our south. We have virtually no patrols in many areas of Arizona and New Mexico, Southern California, and Texas. We had a situation here not long ago where the Border Patrol did nab a group of people coming across the border in Texas, and they were taunted by the illegals saying, Obama will set us free. Obama will set us free. You can't hold us. Well, it's true. Obama will set them free. So we have a wide open border. There is video been taken of a federal lands in Arizona, right near the border, that the Border Patrol is not allowed into, and local authorities are not allowed to patrol it. And the video was secretly planted in cameras by some of the civilians, picked up convoys, literally convoys of pickup trucks rolling in from Mexico through this land up to the interstate, which is north of there, taking truckloads, literally pickup truckloads of illegals, pickup truckloads of marijuana. We don't know how many weapons they were bringing in, if they were bringing in weapons, but it's certainly potentially their weapons being brought in. When we were stopping people on the border and arresting people, we were getting a large number of Middle Eastern members of Hezbollah, Hamas, people from Iran, people from Syria, all potential terrorists, as you know the truth. And yet we're not stopping those people anymore. So we've opened up our southern border. We're going to let them come in basically unmolested, and we're going to have more of these terrorist strikes. They are going to start picking soft targets now. And again, you can't tell me that Al-Qaeda was not connected to this Boston bombing, but even if they weren't, these are still the same people. They may not call themselves Al-Qaeda, they may be with Al-Qaeda, but they are jihadists. And their purpose is to kill the infidels, to kill Americans, to bring down our country. I mean, we just had the Canadians break up this terrorist operation north of us just in the last 24 hours. They have arrested two men, and there are apparently more out there that they're trying to hunt down. They haven't, of course, said their nationality yet. They're not Canadian citizens. I'm sure they're Muslims, and again, the Canadians don't want to be politically incorrect here either. But this was going to be an attack basically on the rail line going between Canada and the United States to disrupt the economy and also to kill people because they were going to try to blow up a bridge and put a passenger train on it. These are soft targets, what we call military soft targets. They're going to go after things like sporting events. In fact, one of the jihadists in Al-Qaeda posted in their online magazine about 6 months ago that Al-Qaeda needed to start attacking American sporting events. And that's what they did. They attacked the Boston Marathon. These are soft targets. They are not well guarded because they can't be. It's impossible to search everybody in a crowd of 100,000 people lining the raceway for a marathon. So they're going to go after those. We're going to be looking at a situation like they've had in Israel over the years, where you have restaurants being blown up, you have buses being blown up, you have busloads of school children being blown up. All of this, I fear, is going to start happening here because we have a president of the United States who has his head in the sand, who will not acknowledge the enemy, who the enemy is that we are facing, and not acknowledge how brutal this enemy can be.
Well, I share your concern, and all I can do is point out to the American people and our listeners that we are fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, and we're financing Al-Qaeda in Syria. And most of the terrorists there in Syria are Al-Qaeda or affiliated with Al-Qaeda. So why are we fighting Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and funding it in Syria? And people say, don't ask stupid questions. We did the same thing. We funded the Al-Qaeda that toppled the government in Egypt, and today that's under the control of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the people there are miserable. The economy is collapsing. And, of course, the Christians have been beaten and raped and driven out of Egypt. And the same thing is true in Tunisia and in Libya. And, of course, poor old Gaddafi. Gaddafi wanted to get along with America. He gave up his nuclear program. He let us come in and monitor the whole thing and dismantle his nuclear program. And then we killed him. We financed the people who killed Gaddafi, who did exactly what we wanted. And then we wonder why the North Koreans don't want to negotiate with us and give up their nuclear weapons. Certainly Gaddafi did, and we saw what happened to him. So basically we live in a world gone mad. Certainly when the Taliban were in charge of Afghanistan, there was no narcotics. They closed down the poppy fields. And the courageous Americans came in. And now the poppy fields are blooming, the greatest opium crop of all time. And we say, well, we can't close down the opium. How will the farmers make their living? After all, the farmers have to make a living, and now the poppy fields are growing. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing is as it appears to be. Everything, I believe, is illusion and delusion. Well, I share Michael's concern about the Islamic threat in America. In fact, if you haven't read the book we carry, Crescent Moon Rising, none of the major publishers would touch this book because it tells the truth about the Islamic training camps in America, where they are being trained with the use of automatic weapons with the full knowledge of our FBI, and yet the American people have never heard of the 60 or so Islamic training camps right here in the United States. Fortunately, they are being held from doing anything violent, but when the word is given, you can be sure that they will be unleashed and there will be chaos in America. Michael, what can we do to awaken the American people? I know that you're as concerned about this as I am.
Well, we're, you know, the United States Justice Foundation, which I'm executive director of, we are a legal foundation. It's been around for 35 years, and we specialize in defending people on constitutional issues. Right now we're working big on the Second Amendment. But one of the things we also do is try to educate people. We need to get the word out to people what is happening here. Excuse me, point out the hypocrisy. For example, you mentioned Syria. We're talking about arming the rebels in Syria. So we have a president of the United States who's talking about arming the Syrian rebels while at the same time he's trying to disarm the American people. That is complete hypocrisy, and people need to realize that. They also need to realize that our constitutional rights are being chipped away at every day by this administration. They're trying to shut us down, you and I. They don't want us to be talking about things. They don't want us to be informing the American people. So education is a big thing here. One of the things that I have done is I wrote a book that called Our Constitution. It's 77 pages long. It takes the original Constitution as written, each article, section, and amendment, and I print them as they were originally written. Then I add my comments to them, and so people will understand what they really mean. And an example of this is in the First Amendment comments, I point out that the phrase separation of church and state is not in the First Amendment to the Constitution. In fact, it's not in the Constitution at all. And I have people telling me, you know, PhDs, well, I was taught in college that it was part of the Constitution. That's why all these rulings, anti-Christian rulings, because it's in the Constitution. They have to do it. It's not in the Constitution. It was actually part, a phrase used in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote when he was president of the United States, when a religious group, a denomination, asked him, they were having an internal dispute, and they asked the president if he would mediate it. Back, he said, that's not proper for the president of the United States to get involved in a religious dispute between parties in a church. That would be a violation of the separation of church and state. We are not, as a state, supposed to interfere with religion. Well, that's exactly what's happening right now. They're using this phrase, separation of church and state, to try to shut down Christianity.
Hold that thought, Michael. Hold the thought. We'll be back here in just a moment at the American Freedom Network. If you have a question or comment, my number is 877-574-7575.
You don't know what the right target is in call.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14 and 15.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Christian civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That's going to determine what the future will bring. And basically, I'm sure most of the people listening to the audience have seen the pictures of the bombing. And basically, of course, the camera is looking, and the runners are running towards the camera. and suddenly there's this explosion. Not doesn't seem to be not awful lot of smoke. The runners just keep right on running, but one of them falls down. One of them falls down. All the rest of them are continue right on running, but one falls down, and he's not the closest one to the where the explosion was. He's some distance away, and so they interview him on television. He said, "Oh, I was running, and I felt this terrible force, and it knocked me down. But why did it just knock down one runner? Why didn't it knock down all the runners?" And then think about what happens to the color of blood after it's been on the ground for a while. It changes from being bright red to a much, much darker. But the blood there at the bombing site didn't. It stayed that light red, and you see all those pictures. We saw them. We saw them with our own eyes. We know exactly what happened, or do we know exactly what happened? Well, go right ahead, Michael. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Justice Foundation?
Well, they can go to our website at USJF, that's United States Justice Foundation, which is just usjf.net, and there they can find out about some of the stuff we're involved in at this point. And you can also go to, there's a little section at the top of the page about Michael Connelly, Executive Director. They can go there, and they can find a link to my website and blog, because my blog is strictly on the Constitution. I've been writing it now for since 2009. I've got almost a half a million hits on the blog. There are a lot of people that read it, and it's reposted a lot of different places. And it's about the Constitution, and you can find out also there about the books I've published, including Our Constitution, which is sold through www.constitution.jigsy.com. And it's, you know, $5-6 on the internet for a booklet that you can carry around in your pocket, and you can give it to other people. We had a lot of people getting them for schools. And we had a Rotary Club in South Texas that bought 500 copies to distribute to high school students in six school districts. We've got a little small Christian school in another state that has bought copies for all of their students. And a lot of people are just buying them to hand out, because, as I started to say before the break, if people don't know what their constitutional rights are, they don't know when they're losing them. And people don't know. People don't know what's in the Constitution. They don't know what's in the Bill of Rights. They don't understand that, because in the book there's something that very few people even know exists, and that is the preamble to the Bill of Rights. It's not published usually in the textbooks. Why, I do not know, other than the fact that it's sort of politically incorrect. Because basically the preamble to the Bill of Rights says that the rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights, all 10 amendments, those rights are not granted to us by the government. Because if we acknowledge that the government granted rights to us, then we acknowledge that they can take them away. It's instead, these are rights that were granted to us by our Creator. They are inherently ours as human beings, and the government cannot take them away. And that means the government cannot, for example, infringe on the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which gives us the right to keep and bear arms. And that's one of the big projects that the Justice Foundation is involved in right now. We have a concerted effort, and it's going to get much worse, of the administration here to disarm American veterans. The very people who have been out there fighting for our country and fighting for the Constitution are now losing their constitutional rights. And the way they're doing this is through the VA. There's been something called fiduciary program in the VA for a number of years, and basically, if someone is getting VA payments, veterans benefit payments, and they're elderly and they may be suffering from dementia or something like that, VA would appoint a fiduciary to handle their payments, make sure their bills were paid. Usually it was a family member, but if there was no family member available, it would be somebody from the outside. Then in 2007, Congress passed this ill-advised amendment to the bill that authorized the creation of the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. Now, that was designed to keep convicted felons from buying weapons, buying firearms, to keep people that were convicted of drug use from buying firearms, and to prevent people who were adjudicated to be mentally ill to the point of being a danger to themselves or others, keep them from buying firearms. Well, the amendment was a result of the response, I should say, to the Virginia Tech massacre, which did not involve a veteran, but they amended this to make it easier for veterans to be put on the list if they were found to be mentally ill to the point where they were a danger to themselves or others. Well, the VA, and this has particularly been going on the last 3 years, perverted that, and instead of any formal adjudication, they are putting everybody on that list that they say they appoint a fiduciary for. And they're appointing a fiduciary not because somebody can't handle their affairs, has been adjudicated of that. They just appoint it because they want to. Veterans are getting letters saying that because of your physical or mental disabilities, now hear that, physical disabilities, they can, under their terms, the way they're describing things, they can actually appoint a fiduciary to take over the affairs of a veteran who's lost an arm or a leg fighting in Iraq or Afghanistan. But veterans are getting these letters. There's no due process. They have to fight it on their own. And usually they do not win. And the letter goes on to say, once you are, we find you to be incompetent to handle your financial affairs, you will be unable to purchase, own, possess, or transport any firearms or ammunition. If you do so, you will be charged with a felony. So they're taking away the Second Amendment rights, and they're appointing fiduciaries and declaring people incompetent for minor PTSD, or somebody comes back from Afghanistan and says, I'm a little depressed because I lost some friends over there. That triggers the letter. We've had a widow who lost her husband in Vietnam, who has been getting VA payments, and all of a sudden she gets this letter. And why are they declaring her incompetent and taking away her Second Amendment rights? Well, somebody at the VA asked her how she was managing her financial affairs. And she said, well, it's easy. Everything's automated. Everything comes automatically out of my checkbook. All my bills are paid. They decided that made her incompetent. So they declared her incompetent and have taken away her Second Amendment rights. The horror stories are pouring in from veterans around the country. What we're doing is we're asking more veterans, anybody affected by this or knows anything about this, to go to usjf.net and contact my office. It may take me a week or two to get back to you, but we will get back to you. And we will, if we decide we can represent you, we will represent you at no charge. And so people that want to donate to help us in this, we have a button on there that you can donate. You can also get our address and send in a check. We need to raise thousands, probably $100,000 for these cases. But we have now found out that 150,000 veterans are now on the list of people who cannot buy firearms. And remember, the letter also says they can't possess them or own them. So they're basically telling veterans, if you're found incompetent, we want you to give up your weapons. Turn them over to us. Or get rid of them some other way. So we have 150,000 veterans on there.
And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this, but people should not be joining the military because they're going to use that against you in the future. And if you're not killed or maimed or damaged in your military, then they'll come after you get out. What madness are we facing today, ladies and gentlemen? This is our country, not theirs.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroutconstruction.com.
Tri-Property Management in Greeley reminds everyone each year millions of children suffer from abuse. And although hundreds of cases still go unreported, behind the statistics are the lives of innocent children. Help conquer child abuse and report what you know to local authorities. Remember, your call could save a child's life. This message from Tri-Property Management in Greeley. For a full range of homes or apartments for rent, call 970-352-1025 or go online at triplacestolive.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
And by telephone number, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. But remember, our veterans are men who joined the military. And many of them went overseas to fight for our freedom, and many of them lost their lives. But those who did survive, and certainly for one reason or another, getting compensation from the Veterans Administration, now they're being told they can't have firearms. And how are they getting away with it? 150,000 veterans have been sent these letters and told they can't have firearms?
Well, 150,000 veterans, many more have been sent the letters, but 150,000 have actually, the VA has ruled they are incompetent to handle their own affairs, and often the ruling is based on no real evidence at all. And they have been put on the list, background checklist. And some of them don't even know they're on there, probably. But they've been put on this list, and there are more veterans every day getting the letter saying that they're about to be declared incompetent. Now, we have checked into this, and here's the way they're handling this. The VA is contracting out, apparently, with independent contractors who receive very little training. Many of them work from their home, so they're not really supervised. And they're the ones making the decisions on whether or not a veteran is incompetent. They're not making the decision. They're not psychologists. They're not psychiatrists. They're not consulting with psychiatrists or psychologists. They're making the decision on anything that they might find in the medical records that a veteran may have told somebody. First of all, they're taking these medical records. They're giving these outside contractors. And they'll look for something like, well, yeah, somebody says I was depressed for a while after I got back from Afghanistan or after I got back from Vietnam. That will trigger them sending this letter that we're going to declare you incompetent. Then the veteran has to fight it, and they don't even know what they're fighting for or about because they don't know the reason. These independent contractors working for the VA never talk to the veteran. They never talk to the veteran at all. Their name and phone number and a contact information is not given to the veteran. The veteran has no idea who is making this decision, cannot contact them directly to talk to them. The whole thing is just unbelievable what they're doing. So what we're
basically
going to be doing,
what can a veteran do if he gets one of these letters?
Excuse me?
What can a veteran do if he gets a letter, if he is notified that now it will be criminal for him to have a weapon?
Well, basically what they're told to do is they're told that the VA will consider a response to them as to why they should not be declared incompetent. And some veterans are going out and hiring their own doctor, going to an independent doctor to write the letter saying this person is competent. That doesn't always work. If you are declared incompetent or if you want to fight this, then you have to hire your own outside attorney, or the VA will appoint somebody to represent you at a hearing, but they'll appoint somebody of their own to represent you at a hearing. So if you really want to fight it, you have to go to a hearing. A lot of times it's a long way from the veteran's home. You do that at your own expense. You hire your own attorney. But here's the kicker, and this is where it gets even worse. We are now getting letters from veterans telling us that if they decide to exercise their right, if you want to call it that, to try to keep from being declared incompetent and put on this list, if they try to exercise that, the VA is telling them, we're going to withhold your VA payments until you agree to this, or until we make a decision, which may take up to a year. So it's extortion. They're blackmailing these veterans. Many of them rely primarily on their VA payments to feed themselves and their families. We have one family out there that the VA owes $17,000 now. They withhold payments for that long. So what the veterans can do about it is join with us in these lawsuits. We filed our first lawsuit just the other day. We had asked the VA for, we made two Freedom of Information Act requests, asking them, number one, what are the criteria they're using to find veterans incompetent to handle their own affairs? We know what the criteria is in the law, but that's not what they're using. So we ask what they are using. Number two, under what criteria are they notifying the background checklist that these veterans that have been ruled incompetent to handle their own financial affairs are somehow incompetent or too dangerous that they're not allowed to own firearms? The VA has not responded to either of those requests. The deadline is long past. We have filed suit against them to force them to respond. That's the first suit. We're also going to be doing a class action suit on behalf of the veterans themselves to stop them from being declared incompetent, to defend those who have been declared incompetent, try to get that reversed, and to stop them from being put on these background checklists. We want the VA to comply with the law. If you go to any state in the union and you want to declare somebody incompetent to handle their own affairs, you have to file a petition with a court. You have to go to a hearing. The person you're trying to find incompetent has the right to have an attorney and a right to have an attorney appointed for them if they can't afford one. And then a judge has to rule that they're incompetent. Here we have faceless, nameless bureaucrats working for the federal government who are doing exactly the same thing to our veterans. And we don't even know who these people are. The veterans don't know who they are. But this is what's behind all this? Well, it's simple enough. There are 21 million veterans in this country. I'm one of them. We all took the same oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in that oath. We've been trained to fight. If we have a president of the United States who wants to be a dictator, and I firmly believe we do because the actions he's taken on a daily basis indicate that, then every dictator, one of the first things they have had to do in order to be successful was to disarm their populations, particularly those that would oppose them, and particularly those like veterans who are trained to defend the Constitution and who owe their loyalty to the Constitution of the United States and to this country, not to the President of the United States. So the first step is to disarm these people. They also understand fixing to revise the background checklist, the categories, so more people can be put on them. Dangerous people, according to the president. Now, who are the dangerous people? Well, Janet Napolitano said it when she first took over DHS. She says potential terrorists and people need to be on the watch list include people who believe in the right to life, people who believe in the Second Amendment. And remember this, a few years ago, she also mentioned veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. We're all potential terrorists.
Well, we're out of time, Michael. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. Thanks for everything you're doing. We'll talk to you real soon. God bless.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah, Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Thank you.
Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and remember that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. We have a president who has never served in the military, but he wants to disarm our people, a man who claims to be a Christian, and yet, of course, you can go up on my website and see the interview with him where he talks about his Muslim faith and how happy he is that he's being interviewed, and he says how happy he is that Senator McCain did not bring out the fact his Muslim faith during the campaign. And the man who's actually interviewing him says, "You mean your Christian faith?" And Obama said, "Oh, yes, my Christian faith." Well, why would certainly Senator McCain bring up certainly Obama's Christian faith? No, ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. And we are in real trouble, but remember that Barack Hussein Obama is certainly not the man who runs this country. The country is run by this small group we talk about, the Trilateral Commission. Go to their website, look at their logo, and you'll see it there, a circle with three curved arrows. And you look at those, you might imagine they were sixes, but there's no question. They're joined together in the center by Nero's Cross, and you can go up on my website, read about Nero's Cross. A couple of thousand, it's almost 2,000 years old, of course, it was called Nero's Cross, because Nero was persecuting the Christians, and it was around almost 2,000 years ago. But it was long, even before that, as the emblem of the ancient mystery religion. So why is that on the logo of the Trilateral Commission? And as we've told you many times, between 1977 and 2008, every president, whether he was Democrat or Republican, came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral. Every president and or vice president came from the membership rolls of the Trilateral Commission. Obama didn't, but of course he got 11 of their members as his closest advisors. And of course, there's never been more than 80 members of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. What's their goal? Well, according to Barry Goldwater on page 280 of his book, With No Apologies, it's to seize control of the government of the United States so they can seize control of the rest of the world. And we do have the rest of the world under control. We have a troop station in 130 nations, and now we're, of course, extending our troops into Africa and to another 35 nations. We have 45,000 troops permanently stationed in Germany. Why would we have all those troops permanently stationed in Germany? 35,000 troops over 35,000 permanently stationed in Japan. Why? Because we control Japan, ladies and gentlemen. We occupy those countries, but we can't let the American people know that. We have over 25,000 troops permanently stationed in South Korea, 11,000 in England. Why? Because we control England. We 11,000 in Italy, because we control Italy. We have an empire, but nobody's going to tell you. You need to go to our website, radioliberty.com. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Get my book, read it, get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, and on population control, the covert agenda. Get my interview with Earl T. Smith. It's called World Revolution. And Ambassador Smith will tell you how we brought Fidel Castro to power, how we installed Fidel Castro knowing he was a communist. Why? Because you need an enemy, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have an enemy, how are you going to rally the people behind the government? Our number is 1-800-544-8927. And if you can join the Radio Liberty family and help us maintain our network of stations, we're having an effect. Join the Radio Liberty family, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow. And the Lord be with you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.